Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquez and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Welcome to another episode of the best sports talk show on the internet, our affiliate radio stations, your phone, or anywhere else you can pick us up. My minions, as always, I tell you this every week, but it's true. We have a great lineup for you today. I tell you, we are really gearing up and getting closer and closer to that racing season actually being underway. We got NHRA going to be starting. We got NASCAR going to be starting. And just a little bit after that, we got some IndyCar going to be starting. So we're going to be talking about that with Radio Speed Talk, Mr. Kenny Barr, the one and only Mr. Kenny Barr, will be joining us and talking to us a little bit about what's been going on this week in the week of racing. A lot of things circling around, rumor has it, a lot of different things going on. As well, we're going to break down some of the opening aspects of NHRA, what's going on in the NHRA news. We're going to break down some NASCAR news, as well as feature as our short track information as well. So, got a great day for you on racing. It's just going to be one of those Saturdays. I can see it happening now. Well, I'm so glad the minions are along here with us. And at 9:30, College Saturday, myself, Jimmy the Intern, and Preston Turner Barr. I don't know why I said Turner when his last name is clearly Barr, but that's okay. We'll get to that. We're going to be breaking down some college hoops coming up at 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock. We're going to be doing this all the way through Super Bowl. And I want to take this opportunity to promote our very, very, very special Super Bowl special. Will be happening on Super Bowl Sunday. Those minions that have been around with us for a while, my veteran minions know that. Our rookie minions, Will Young, I'm going to tell you what, you're in for a treat. Super Bowl Sunday, same time you listen to The Balance, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern. We're going to be talking Super Bowl, everything Super Bowl, all the storylines for 2 hours on Super Bowl Sunday. But this week we're going to be talking a lot about the Pro Bowl. We're going to be talking some about the Super Bowl, and we've got a lot of other things in store. Jeff Kurtz and Gene Walker joins us to break down, and $2 Bill Josh joins us to break down what's going on in the NFL. My digits, 917-889-8516. That's 917-889-8516. At any time, my minions, if you want to jump in the conversation, we'll just jump right on in. We got to take a break, and when we get right back, we'll be right around the corner with Kenny Barr from Radio Speed Talk. Going to be talking everything that goes fast right here on the Balance Radio Network.
County Roads.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana Water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located in 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Welcome back to The Balance. My name's Sal Marquis, El Presidente. And that's right, it is time for our racing segment with the guys from over at Radio Speed Talking. Every week they join us and break down what's going on in the world of racing. We love to cover racing, one of our favorite things to do here on The Balance Radio Network. Mr. Kenny Barr, how are you doing on a Saturday morning, sir?
I'm doing great, Tom. How's new with you, man? Haven't talked to you in a while.
I tell you what, you must have been hiding under a rock or something, huh?
No. You see me, it wouldn't be a rock. It'd be a boulder anyway. But
well, I tell you what, man, it's cold, but it's warm here inside the studios, but it's cold outside. And we've been battling here in Indianapolis anyway. We've been battling some frigid temperatures. But I can tell you one thing that's only temporary. Right around the corner in February, we're getting closer and closer to the D-Day when all the racing series kick off their seasons in a big, big way. And today we're going to talk a little bit about the NHRA Racing Series, one of our favorite series to cover here on The Balance, and, of course, I know over there at Radio Speed Talk as well. We'll get to that in just a moment, Mr. Kenny Barr. But what's going on, sir, over at Radio Speed Talk this week? What are you guys talking about? What are you guys gearing up for?
We haven't even talked about it yet. I don't know.
Show prep at its best. Radio Speed Talk behind the scenes. Prep at its best. I understand. You know, I totally understand. Well, I want to talk a little bit about the NHRA and what's going on in the NHRA news as well. And you know, some of you that follow NHRA obviously are familiar with Dale Worshman. I had the last name right there, Kitty, but the first name just escaped me there for a minute. Obviously, Dale Worshman won the Top Fuel title in 2011. He was the crew chief for Alexis De La Jora in 2012, and he will replace Jeff Arand in Catalina's Funny Cars in 2013. Dale Worshman, I'm having a problem today, Kenny, was hesitant to use the word retirement when he stopped racing because he never had any intention of not being involved in the NHRA. So what are your thoughts on that?
I think you should have never left the driver's seat. As a champion, you've got everything going for you. You got your timing rights, you got your fuel rights, you got your team together. It's hard to win a championship in the NHRA. I thought it was kind of a corny move, actually. I think more PR than anything. A lot of money in that tequila-driven race car, and you got a pretty girl driving it. Who did okay. You know, she didn't do bad for her first year in top or in funny car. But you should play to your strengths, you know. And Dale Worsham's a hell of a driver.
Well, absolutely. You know, you look at his 33 wins when he stepped aside at the end of 2011, and 25 of them were in the funny car, and 8 of them were with Alan Allenby. by in his Top Fuel Dragster. In 2011, title was his first NHRA, but his second overall, he won 1992 IHRA Funny Car Championship. That was enough for Worshipman until the NHRA Nationals at Las Vegas in late October, where he watched Ron Capps beat Jack Beckman. Fast Jack Beckman, which we've had here on the show and had an opportunity to meet. I know we teamed up and had a chance to talk with him over at Lucas Oil Raceway with Radio Speed Talk. Love Fast Jack. Love everything that he's doing. But I guess, you know, it just wasn't his year in the finals to cut Beckman's series. I want to talk about Fast Jack and what he's got coming up here. Obviously, you know, one of the crazy things we talked about, you know, and oftentimes when we have these NHRA, especially NHRA drivers on, we talk about some of the things that they go to in prep and getting ready for the unthinkable, but you have to think about it, and that's a record. We had that conversation with Fast Jack out at Lucas Oil, and then, you know, shortly after that, we know what kind of catastrophe or wild, crazy wreck that he had as well. So let's talk about what's coming up with Fast Jack here in 2013. And obviously, we know that he's got his great charity that he works with that raises money for cancer and chemotherapy. Obviously, Fast Jack not only survived a race car wreck, but he also is a cancer survivor. So, Kenny, I turn it over to you. Is this a year for Fast Jack Beckman, and is he going to win a title this year in 2013?
Well, he certainly got all the pieces in place to do so. You know, it's a two-season thing when you got the playoffs in the last batch of races in any series anymore. So you got to be consistent enough to be in the top 10 and then kind of hit your stride. Kind of like the NFL, and then hit your stride when the playoffs comes along. When they made that big crew change last year between him and Caps, did that complete flip-flop. I know Fast Jack wasn't real happy at the beginning of that. But when they got their communication channels together, and figured out what each driver, what the crew chief and the driver wanted, he got even faster than a normal Fast Jack, and he started beating on people and just about pulled the championship off. I thought that was pretty cool because Caps was not running well. Beckman was, and the man at the top of the mountain, Mr. Schumacher, decided to flip-flop him. You know, and if I was Fast Jack, I'd be kind of mad about that too. But they have rebounded well, and they are a very, very good funny car team. And they got to be one of the top two or three to watch for all season long.
Well, absolutely, and every year, and then, of course, you know, you look at a lot of the other teams that are going on right out there in the NHRA. It's really exciting as well. Of course, you know, we talk about John Force and Courtney Force, and we talk about the entire Force family that really is a force to be reckoned with, and we can make all the Force jokes, may the Force be with you and all of that. But every year, John Force Racing makes an appearance in NHRA, and I don't look for 2013 to be any different, Kenny.
Well, John Force Racing is going to be interesting because Mike Neff got out of the cockpit. He's going to start tuning for John. And we at Radio Speed Talk is somewhat speculating that John would like to win the 16th before he steps out. And he certainly has a crew chief that's capable of getting him there. I don't think John's lost any of his driving skills at all. He needs to not get too distracted with all the other things that he does. He's such a great pitch man that he's always tugged and pulled by all his sponsors. He's got TV people wanting him to do reality shows. He's got crazy radio shows like The Balance and Radio Speed Talk wanting to talk to him all the time. He's got to be able to balance all that stuff and stay focused on driving a race car. And that, if anybody can do it, John can do it, but there's a limit to everybody's time and abilities. We're only given 24 hours a day. And there's times when he gets stretched out too thin. So I think if he can weed out some of the extra distractions, the non-essential distractions, so to speak, and stay focused on the race car, I think he's got a legitimate shot at 16.
Well, I tell you what, and that's incredible. And you look at that, and you compare it to a lot of other drivers. And you know, we joke about having John on our show and your show. But I tell you what a great interview he is. And I can tell you what, anytime you say he says I'll give you 15, he gives you 30. If he says he gives you 30, he's going to give you an hour. So one thing about John Force is that once he gets behind the mic, he makes time for you. And I love that about him, and he also makes time for his fans, and somehow in that, in all of that, he makes time to be a fantastic race car driver, obviously a legendary racing family that he has created, and his legacy is there as well. Now I want to move on over to Spencer Massey, obviously been released by Don Schumacher Racing. The move is effective immediately. Don Schumacher said Friday afternoon in a brief press release. That was back in November, I guess, but still, and we hadn't had a chance to really talk about it too much. We had the holidays and everything, but we haven't had a chance to talk about Spencer Massey. What happened there? Do we really know what happened with Spencer Massey with Schumacher Racing, and what's his future in the NHRA?
Well, nobody really going to know, I don't think, because that happened so quickly. That's going to be one of those things that, unless somebody steps forward and decides to spill the beans, you and me and everybody else are going to have to take a swag at it and figure out what it was, and we're not going to know. Most likely a personality conflict or just a conflict of interest somewhere, because you don't take a Spencer Massey, who's been very successful in his genre for a couple, 3 years, and just dismiss him. There had to be something personal going on in there between some people. So in business we call it a power struggle, and obviously Spencer didn't have enough power to win the struggle, kind of thing. So I don't know what he's going to do in the future. I heard that he got dismissed, but I haven't heard many more details than that.
Well, I tell you what, it's all part of what I like to call the rumor here on the balance. Obviously, that's our rumor mill music, and I purposely, Kenny, positioned that song right there in that story at a particular segue time, because it's time to segue on over to NASCAR. And I know you know what I'm going to say, the cat's out of the bag, it's official, Cliff has been pushed aside for one Ricky Stenhouse Jr. It is official. NASCAR has made it official for whatever reason. But Denica Patrick and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. are dating. You know, they didn't take the word of Ricky Stenhouse. They had to hear it straight from the mouth of one Denica Patrick. So, Ricky Stenhouse says, not go daddy, but who's your daddy? Do we really care, Kitty? I mean, do we really care that Denica Patrick and Ricky, I don't know, maybe Stenhouse has got something up his sleeve there. I don't know, maybe it's what do they call sleeping his way to the top?
I don't think he's got it up his sleeve, by the way. This is good for a few jokes, and then actually a couple of legitimate questions. I mean, one of them's they're both going to be racing for Rookie of the Year. One of them might be racing for Nookie. The other one might be racing for Rookie. Who knows?
I hear Snooki's going to be on the car, so.
It could be. They better put her on the left side so they get a little bit of extra left side weight. Can picture this. What if these two happen to be racing at the front or racing for the lead late in a race? Now, are they going to beat and bang each other and really race each other, or are they going to be nice and chivalry will win? Or if one passes the other one late, is there going to be a big family fight or a boyfriend ex-girlfriend feud in, like, Victory Lane or something. There's all sorts of interesting little side buzz.
Yeah, what's going to happen when they have a little lover's quarrel there in Pit Row, and Danica does her classic throwing off the gloves and throwing off her helmet and coming up there, and Ricky goes, I ain't going to hit no woman, but I'll sure kiss her, and they get lip-locked right there on Pit Row. Of course, we know that's never going to happen, but obviously, you know what, you know, it is good for jokes, and we can make jokes about it all day long, and you know, the thing is about Danica, well, you know, as we know, our producer, Michelle, is not a Danica fan at all, and so she's giving us that little wrap up the Danica conversation and talk more about NASCAR. So we'll do that, absolutely. But, you know, I couldn't resist it. Earlier this week, it was just a rumor. And then somehow between earlier this week, I mean, they must have realized the cat was finally out of the bag, per se. Obviously, we know that Danica filed for divorce. And I don't know. I mean, I haven't heard if her divorce is final. I guess maybe it is. But in fact, it's easier to get divorced these days than it is actually to get married. But I guess it's final. Maybe it's not. But if it's not final, man, Ricky Steinhaus Jr. dating a married woman. That's some news there, huh?
not in this the moral society that we live in now, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big deal. It really is, but it's socially acceptable, and I don't think they should be doing it anyway, but, yeah, the public don't care.
Well, and I think you're right. I think it's fun to make jokes about it, but we do need to get on to more serious talk about it. And, you know, really, that is what it is, and we move on. But one of the serious conversations that I wanted to have about NASCAR is obviously the great expectations that are in store for the Hendrick drivers, looking at Jimmy Johnson and Jeff Gordon and Dale Jr., have a lot of challenges ahead of them. And let's talk about some of that. Jimmy Johnson, as we know, is always at the top of his game, obviously taught and mentored by Jeff Gordon. And Jeff and Junior come up through the ranks together as well. So you got three drivers that are very familiar with each other in their own right, and then together as teammates. This has to be a great combination for Hendrick Motorsports. This has to be their year, and you got to look at that. They are looking at sitting back and saying, we've got all the pieces in place here. Let's win us a 2013 championship. And if you look at it with the car this year, everybody's a rookie this year in the race car.
Yep, sure is. And the playing field's going to be level for a while. I talk about this a lot. The teams that do the extra R&D are going to be the teams that step up and shine. Also, the teams that have drivers that like loose race cars, especially on the bigger tracks, are going to step up and shine. The faster you go, the less downforce these things have because of the angle of the spoiler and the shortness of the deck. So they're going to be twitchy, and the driver is going to become more of a factor on the bigger tracks. I don't know that it's going to be much different on the short tracks and the mile and a half. So everybody's comfortable with the way the car handles on a mile and a half, from what I understand. But the Talladegas and the Daytonas, they're going to get rid of pack racing. They're going to get rid of the 2x2 racing. It's going to go back to the old slingshot days, I'm pretty sure. And we'll see who's got the skills to do that. I don't think that the Gen 6 car is going to make that big of a difference on a mile and a half and shorters, but the 2 miles and bigger is going to be. And, oh, I don't know. When you talk about Jeff Gordon and Jimmy Johnson and it's their year, is it ever not their year? I mean, Johnson won 5 in a row until last year, and Gordon if he didn't have such an awful start and a couple of bad breaks in the chase, he'd have been in the mix last year too. So, you know, Hendrick Motorsports is always at the top of the heap. They're always a player, and you can make that general statement every year and be pretty doggone accurate.
Well, you know, you look at Jeff Gordon, obviously has won 4 championships in a Hendrick's car. But I think one of his main problems, at least here recently, has been lack of the checkers and lack of the confidence that comes with that. We need to see more wins from Jeff Gordon. How does that happen, Kenny?
Well, he knocks everybody out of the way. That's one way to do it. Oh, I don't know. You know, he just had a string of bad luck, and You can win a championship and not win a race. Terry Labonte did it back in the 80s, and somebody else did it earlier than that, or just won one or two races. And you don't have to win to get in the chase. You know, the game has changed since they put the chase together and stuff. You really have to, just like we were talking about in the NHRA, you have to get hot late, just like Tony Stewart did a couple of years ago. Makes the chase by the skin of his teeth, and then he goes out and starts kicking everybody's butt and wins 5 out of 10. So you don't have to win in the first 26, but you have to be get your A++ game cooking in the last 10 and don't have any mulligans and you can win that thing. I don't know. I know winning is winning, but if you're points racing, it's one thing, and if you're trying to win, it's another, and it's a different mindset. And that goes all the way from the top of the heap at NASCAR Sprint Cup all the way down to your local short track and the lowest division there is. If you're points racing, you take less chances, you settle for the thirds, you settle for the fourths, and you go for consistency. If you're out there to win the bucks, try to pay for racing every week, and you don't give a shooby-dooby about points, you go out there to root, crash, and bang, and you'll take an easy second to turn it into an eighth, you know.
Well, and, you know, and obviously we could get into this conversation more as the season progresses. And one thing we do know for sure, Kenny, is that as a crew chief in NASCAR, it is challenging enough as it is. But when you look at the situation, what they've got to deal with, you know, just getting parts to build the car and different things, that the obstacles that they're coming up with on top of trying to get this car race ready in just a few short weeks. You know, we got Daytona 500, so you know that these crew chiefs and these crew teams, these pet teams, are going a lot without a lot of sleep over the next couple of weeks as they prepare for the Daytona 500.
Yeah, they don't sleep during the racing season anyway. Sleep's overrated for 36 weeks, so they don't sleep much anyway. But the company was making those decks that everybody was yapping about a couple of weeks ago, how short they were, they're cranking about 50 a week out now. So there's going to be plenty to go around for Daytona. And then that's kind of an interesting job, an interesting manufacturing process. Because it's like a commodity, you know. You use it up, and they're going to go make more for you. The more race cars they bust up, the more decks they get to make, the more money they get to make. So they're going to keep cranking them things out until the demand is not anymore, and the demand ain't going to go away for 36 weeks. Because there's going to be people building cars and building special cars and trying something else, busting things up. So I don't know why you and I didn't get into the deck building business here last summer, but we weren't smart enough to get in there. So,
well, you know, everything falls past us. It goes past us. Hey, guys, when we were talking about the NHRA, and I know, and if Kenny, if you could shoot us over the link, or if you have the link, you said you found an article. I didn't want to miss out on that, but we just kind of ran out of time there on why Massey was fired. We'll talk about that maybe next week, and we'll definitely get it posted up on our social media. Also, I wanted to talk about there is a NHRA job opportunity. Has immediate opening in its South Central office to manage all operational aspects of regional and divisional sportsman racing events. Go to the website, www.nhra.com, for more information on that. So, you know, Kenny, if this whole radio thing doesn't work out, maybe we could go to work for NHRA and make the big bucks. But I typically, you know, every week we talk about our short tracks here in Indiana, and I want to make sure we get to that real quickly because we are running out of time. I wanted to have Josh Timmerman on it. Unfortunately, he had some conflicting schedules today, and I know he's a great short track driver and is obviously a driver that Radio Speed Talk has supported in the past and maybe going forward there. But one of the great things they have is an organization called Families of Hope, and I hope to have Josh Timmerman on to talk with us about Families of Hope and what's going on there as well. And also on the short track side, obviously there's a new website to debut at the CRARacing.com for the Speed Fest and all of that, so you can check that out as well. Now, one of the things I always like to do here, Kenny, is that we started doing anyway in 2013 is spend more time talking about the short tracks. And I know you guys are doing the same thing over there at Radio Speed Talk. So one of we always like to try to feature one regional one, and we've talked about the Anderson Speedway, we've talked about the Angola Speedway, and one of the track, the reason I chose this track is because you're very familiar with it. You could, one could say that that's your home track, and that's Winchester. So I want you to talk with us a little bit about Winchester. Winchester Speedway, obviously a fantastic racetrack, a lot of thrills and chills there at Winchester, and I know you can be found in the PA box there in the house voice of the house announcer, if you will, there at Winchester from time to time. So I know you're very familiar with that track, so I wanted to feature that, and if you could give us our website and stuff, and we'll get that up to the on the social media.
Well, the website's simple enough. It's winchesterspeedway.com. Winchester Speedway has got to be one of the neatest short tracks you will ever get to in your life, and Tom, if we get there, we're going to get there early, and I'm going to take you right to the apex of 1 and 2 and have you start to walk up the banking. It's banked higher than Daytona, and it's a half-mile racetrack. It is fast. It is spooky. It is thrilling. It is dangerous. It's all the things you want in a racetrack, and that's the things that people were appealed to, and that's why racing really got started, is kind of the danger and the speed and everything. Winchester's been around for almost 100 years. And it was built, it's actually built as a motorcycle track, and it was a flat dirt track way back in 1912, 1913, something of that nature. And it's evolved into a high banked asphalt track out on 32, just on the, let me think here, the west side of Winchester, about a mile and a half, 2 miles out of town. It's currently the fastest half mile in the world. Yes, sorry, Bristol. They broke the record. I forget who did it in a sprint car. The YouTube video is actually on there. He had a camera on. He went around that track in 12.667. Well, that's two straightaways and four turns when you think about it. And a quarter mile, and these dragsters are going about 3.75 in the fastest dragsters in the world. You got to double that for two straightaways and then add two corners to it. I put it at about 148 mile an hour on the average, and you got concrete walls surrounding it. There's been many, many good racers that show up at Winchester that don't have the stones to race there. They run a couple of laps there and go, no, I'm not going to do it.
Well, I tell you what, I wish we had more. I apologize. I wish we had more time to get into that. And I can tell you one thing. I know you. I've heard you guys talk about the stories. How back in the day, people would come to Winchester to test their cars for Bristol and for the big series, and nobody really knew about what's going on. So I know you have a lot of stories about Winchester, and I certainly would love to pick your brain on that sometime. But unfortunately, we've ran out of time. So, you can find Kenny at where? Kenny Barr 52, is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. I was tweeting a little bit this morning and a little bit over the Danica announcement, and I got absolutely no retweets, which I was kind of sad about. But, yeah. I really thought maybe I'd do something real provocative out there and get something out of that deal. But yeah, Kenny from Bar 52 at Twitter, and then of course you can find us all the time at RadioSpeedTalk.com.
Well, and you know what? We enjoy having you guys on board here, and it is on my list to do this summer is to get out there to Winchester. Also, I was just informed that we have Josh Timmerman booked for February the 9th. So we'll have him on here talking about his 2013 series and also Families of Hope. Well, Kenny, we'll talk to you next week. Unless you want to stay around for the college hoops, we got Mr. Preston Barr. I think you know this young man standing in the wings by here to talk with us about some college hoops. And Jimmy the intern as well. And we're going to break down college hoops and everything that's going on in the college hoops segment. Are you wanting to stay on, Kenny? Or you need to go or...?
I'll hang around. Is Preston Theodore actually out of bed and dialing the phone?
I believe he is. I got him in queue here. I can only believe
really?
that he's there.
Yeah, well, I've been pretty sure he wants to stick around just to harass him a little bit.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we get back, we're going to jump right into College Saturday with Preston Turner and the one and only Jimmy the Intern. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Drive my heel. When she is lonely.
I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sport.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Jimmy the intern to join us, but joining us now is Mr. Preston Barr, not Preston Turner, as I said in my opening dialogue. Maybe that's his split personality name there, I'm not sure. But Preston, are you awake and with us this morning?
I am, and I would like to point out for a college student living in the central time zone, it is 8:30 for me.
And that is early for college kids. Let me tell you. You know, it's been told, Preston, that it's early for old people like myself. But there's another old guy on the line with us as well. He decided to go ahead and stick around with us. You probably know this old guy, Mr. Kenny Barr. Kenny, are you with us, sir?
Yeah. Good morning, people. How's the peepers? You wide awake, or are you still laying on around and head on pillow and talking on the phone?
Head on the pillow, but I got homework to do right after this, so I'll be wide awake soon.
Man, the life of a college kid, homework, studies, and you're studying international business. So what is the homework you have to do today, sir?
I have finance. Oh, good grief. I have finance. I have marketing. I have management. Oh, just so much to read. But that's the life of the college student. I can't complain.
I understand completely. You know, our producer, Michelle Jones, is actually a PhD student. So she says she'll trade you places anytime, sir. So apparently there's a lot more work involved in, and plus she produces this show full time. So, you know, and I am a full time job all by myself. So I can only imagine. Well, let's jump right into it. We're going to start talking about those Jayhawks. Because you're first in line with us today. So let's talk about the Jayhawks, what's going on with them this week, and what are some of the key things that we want to talk about, and then we'll get right into some of the particular games.
The Jayhawks do have the longest winning streak right now currently in college basketball. It seems to be the curse of being number one. If you make it there, you're bound to lose the week you are number one. So we'll keep an eye on Michigan this week because the Big Ten is brutal this year. But the Jayhawks, we have a game today of which right after this interview I have to go camp for my seat. We've been camping all week for the game. We play Oklahoma in Allen Fieldhouse. They're number two in the Big 12 right now, 13-4. That's only losses to K-State, Arkansas, and Gonzaga. So they're a pretty darn good team this year, surprisingly. It kind of came out of the woodwork. So it should be a good game today. I'm excited to get into the field house again. I haven't since break.
Well, I can tell you one thing. It's always a good game. I love that whole division out there, that whole series. As you mentioned, Kansas takes on Oklahoma today out there in Lawrence, Kansas. Is there anything in Lawrence, Kansas, Preston, besides the university?
Surprisingly, I didn't think there would be. But there's an incredible city here, and I don't know what it is, but there's a long downtown strip. I would say there's more actual residents here than there are actual residents in Bloomington, Indiana.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. There's a good comparison.
Fun facts of University of Kansas. Well, the Kansas Jayhawks do return home today after their two-game road game trip in hopes that their recently dwindling offense will be recharged by the home crowd. The home field advantage, as they would say. Oklahoma centers the big game with 4-0 in the Big 12, obviously next to the Big 10, which is my favorite division to watch. The Big 12 is right up there. You see them every March. The Big 12, and obviously Oklahoma enters with a 4-1 Big 12 record. And it looks to make a great statement win in the state of Kansas after already losing in the Sunflower State once this year. The Sooners are led by seniors Romeo Osby and Stephen Pledger in their version of the Jayhawks inside-outside combo of McClure and Way High. This is one of those days I cannot talk to. I'm like Mr. Kenny Barr there. I can't talk, but obviously proven to be a very successful formula for Oklahoma this year. Besides playing for a stronger lead in the Big 12, the Jayhawks are also playing for a potential number one overall ranking in the coaches poll next week, following Miami's upset win over Duke. So a lot on the line today. So what are the key points for Kansas Jayhawks to beat Oklahoma sooner than later?
Ooh, that was good. I would say.
And I come right off the cuff too, buddy. Wasn't even rehearsed.
I'm impressed. I would say, first of all, we need to get the ball in the post. We need to get Jeff Withy scoring. That high-low, get the post and get him posted up and lob like straight to the corner of the backboard. He always seems to be able to finish once he gets the ball down there, and if not, he kicks it out for an open three because he does draw a lot of attention on offense. We also need to get Ben McLemore moving, which he seems to do all too well, especially in the field house, scoring 33 against Iowa State, and that man is just a bad man. He's a good ball player, and he's fun to watch, and he's smooth, and I think our defense and transition game always is what keeps us in games, but I think our half-court offense is what really needs to get going.
Well, obviously, and you look at this particular – and Kenny, what are your thoughts? You have any thoughts on this Kansas-Oklahoma game? Obviously, you can watch it on ESPN today at 4 o'clock Eastern, but what are your thoughts on this Kansas-Oklahoma game?
Well, I think Preston's right. I think they get Willie going on the offensive end of the floor, and if he gets the ball down low in the post, either mid-post or deep-post, he can make an awful lot of noise offensively. And if he does, that'll free things up for the guys on the outside. And Kansas does play pretty good defense, and they can play some transition the ball when they need to. But I think Preston is right on with that because, boy, if you can get some good post play, which is somewhat lacking in a lot of college deep offenses this year, it's just another problem for anybody to defend. And Willie's big. And he can finish. You just got to get the ball to him in the right spot.
Well, absolutely. And I tell you one thing: if they can stop and really attack the weakness of Oklahoma, and I think one of the biggest weaknesses of Oklahoma, obviously, is their outside shooting. The Sooners only associate 20.7 of their offense outside the arc and hit only 32% from the three. And I know that Kansas has a great three-point shooter, Ben McLemore. How do you say that, Preston?
Ben McLemore.
McLemore. Well, it's not spelled McLemore. That's where it throws me off at. Maybe it is. Maybe you see. I read Hillbilly. I understand Hillbilly. But, you know, if it gets mixed up in there somewhere along the way, I always have problems with it. But obviously, a fantastic 3-point shooter in Ben McLemore at 16.1 from the 3-point shot there. So, you know, obviously Kansas has a lot of opportunities. This is a great matchup between two great teams that obviously we're going to see again in March. So, you know, obviously those are some of the two teams that you really want to get to and watch to today as well. Well, let's talk about a little bit about the NCAA men's basketball around the division, if you will. Always like to do that, and you know, the time always flies by when you're having fun. That's for sure. So we did want to talk a little bit about IU. IU's able to keep it together, Mr. Kenny Parr, still. But you know what? You look at this game against Penn State. Obviously, they played a lot better game against Penn State this past week than what the first time that they had met. But still, IU has a problem. They start out strong, but IU has a problem in the second half, and many times allowing that lead that they worked so hard to establish in the first half to become a smaller and smaller gap. And when you play teams like Penn State, which obviously out-rebounded them last time around, you're going to run, and then you look at what happened to Minnesota, and then you look at what Wisconsin was actually able to capitalize on doing. It doesn't take a rocket scientist for a Big Ten team coach to know that, hey, you know, we can attack them in the second half and totally dominate them in the second half, and we have those opportunities available to them. So, Kitty, if you're Tom Crean and you're at practice and you're talking to your team, and you've just come off of a loss from Wisconsin, and you look at how Penn State played you, and you look at some of the situations that happened in the second half, Kenny, if you're Tom Crean, what are you doing?
You must be listening to my broadcast at the high school level, because that's the exact question I ask my color guy every time. What do you do in the second half? How do you fix that? Well, Bob Knight used to stress, and it's really, really still important in the college game, is you got to establish yourself in the first 5 minutes of any half. And that will go a long, long, long way to dictating the pace of the game and the attitude of the second half of the ball game. They really just got to kick up the effort and make a couple of adjustments to combat whatever Michigan State or whoever your opponent is doing in the first half, whether it's the classic Michigan State crash the board or they're trying to run their transition offense or what they're doing. And you have to just gut it out and put extra effort in that first 5 minutes and then make adjustments from there. I don't know if they're – I don't want to use the word out-coached, but I think they're getting out-guessed a little bit and out-hustled. You know, you go into halftime with a nice lead and you're feeling comfortable about yourself, and it happens at every level of every sport. You're thinking, okay, we got this thing in the bag. These guys are going to fold and load the bus up and go home before the final buzzer. And lo and behold, you end up behind or losing your great big lead that you had built up, and then you really got to bust a hump to get the thing back. So I would focus really hard on the first 5 minutes of the second half and make sure you do the things that you do well. You know, don't get away from what you normally do and counteract whatever they've done well and work. And you just focus on that a lot, because that'll dictate how that whole half goes. If you come out of the gate and you stink it up the first 3-4 minutes, it's just going to be a struggle for the rest of the other 15, 16 minutes you got in the game. If you come out there and play well, suddenly the basket's going to get as big as the ocean and things are going to go well for you.
Well, I tell you one thing. IU obviously is still a national championship caliber type teams. Obviously, I think Preston might disagree with that.
But oh, no, I would be happy.
Pardon me?
I said I would be happy. I was born and raised a Hoosier.
That's right. You know, hey, I tell you what, I am a firm believer in Hoosier hysteria. Bring it back. Bring it back from the days when Bobby Knight was here. Yes, I admit it. I like Bobby Knight, and I became a Texas Tech fan because of Bobby Knight, and I still remain a Texas Tech fan, even though Bobby Knight's over at ESPN. Oh, newsflash, I'm an ESPN fan now because of Bobby Knight.
If you believe that. It's funny to listen to, guys. I mean, if you sit there and listen to him, you can learn a lot. It's like
you know, him and Dan Dockich are probably two of the best color guys and analysts out there in the game right now. And,
sure.
You know, Dockich was one of Knight's students and players and mentors, and he coached underneath Knight for a while. So, and Dockich is probably one of the hottest guys in the country right now as far as just interviews and people he's talking to and all the stuff that you hear come out of his mouth. And he's on Twitter, and he is very interesting, and he pulls no punches, kind of like the old man. So,
Well, I tell you what, he's a lot of fun to watch, and we're fortunate enough to have him here in our local market to do his show here locally, and there is some syndication with that. But you're right, Dan Dockich is great, and I've been talking with him via email. So, you know, we are working on getting him here on the balance, as we just talked about. He has a very busy schedule right now, but he has told us that he will come on sometime here in the near future, even if it's for 5 or 10 minutes, we'll have Dan Dockich on here. So I am still in the works of that, and we'll let you know as that comes together. Well, another great game today, Minnesota-Wisconsin. Obviously, these are two teams that play. You look at look at what they were able to do against IU, but in their own perspective, teams inside the Big Ten, this is a huge matchup between Wisconsin and Minnesota. So Kenny, we'll talk with you a little bit about this game. Minnesota-Wisconsin. We know Tubby Smith got a great organization, got some great recruits, got a great team, and every time you're in a contest with the Golden Gophers, you can be assured one thing: they're going to play a full game with you, and they are going to make you beat them, and they're going to make you beat them on their terms. So what does Minnesota have to do to beat a very, very, very good Wisconsin Badger team today?
Not play the pace that Wisconsin wants to play. And the statement you made that Minnesota will make you play on their terms, I think, holds more true for the Wisconsin Badgers because they can dictate tempo so well. Bo Ryan's got those guys so well disciplined in the style of play that he likes to play, and they play defense terrific. I pull for Wisconsin. If they play a 32-game schedule, I pull for them for 30 games, and the only two I don't is when they play IU because I really do like to watch some old-school basketball, some solid defense being played, and some ball control. And don't get me wrong, I like the up-and-down game too, and I like the flash, and I like the dunk and stuff. But when it comes to a 3 or 4 or 5 minute segment of ball where you got to be a thinker more than an athlete and anticipate and understand the game more than just letting your physicality take over the game, Wisconsin is one of the best teams in the country to watch. I think that whoever dictates tempo at this game is going to win it. I don't even care if it's at the Barn or it's at Badgerville down in Wisconsin. I'm going to take the Badgers on this one.
All right, we'll go with you, Preston. What are your thoughts on this game? And did Kenny say anything that you necessarily disagree with? Or what? And this is our game of the week, and I usually introduce that. I apologize, but this is our game of the week, Minnesota and Wisconsin. So what are your thoughts? Wisconsin or Minnesota? What has to happen here? And in my opinion, I think that Minnesota has all the tools and weapons to beat a very good Wisconsin Badger team. But, you know, Kenny's saying that Wisconsin has the ability and will win today. So what are your thoughts on this, Preston?
I actually had the chance to watch Wisconsin play in Assembly Hall when they beat IU. And I was really impressed with their defense and the way they dictated the tempo of that game. And I do agree with my dad on that point. However, I think the Wisconsin has to shoot really well in order to win a slow grind-out game like that. And I do think that Minnesota is more explosive, and they like to run the floor. They like to get the ball in the post to Trevor and Mbakwe. I give advantage to Minnesota only because I think they'll score more points.
Yeah, Noddy. Man, oh, man, he just did that just to be controversial, you know what I'm saying?
I have to admit, though, I think you're outvoted on this one, Kenny. I think Minnesota's definitely going to beat Wisconsin in this game. If they play Minnesota, now again, going back to what I was saying earlier, and I agree with what Kenny said, if Wisconsin can control the momentum of the game, Minnesota will be struggling. But if Minnesota comes out and plays the entire game the way they did the second half against the Hoosiers, they will beat the Badgers today. Another great game I want to talk to and preview today, obviously. Oh, I like this matchup. The Maryland Tar Heels, which, by the way, aren't they a part? They're going to be next year, I guess, a part of the Big Ten. And number one, Dookie Duke Duke, the Blue Devils. Let's start with you, Preston. What a matchup it is. Obviously, Maryland coming in 15-4, 3-3 in the ACC. Duke 16-2 and 3-2 in the ACC. These two always do a battle. And I get excited about it because I start talking like Dick Vitale, baby. Preston, what are your thoughts? Maryland Duke, I tell you what, if you're a college basketball fan, it does not get any better than this today.
This has always been one of my favorite games to watch, and I really don't care much about the ACC, but even as a kid, I always liked the Duke-Maryland game because it was always so exciting. And I think this game is just going to be great because Duke's going to be coming off a really, really hard loss, one of their most embarrassing ones in history. And they're going to be coming out of the gate fast, and Coach Krzyzewski's going to have them running the floor and working efficiently as we're used to seeing. But Maryland has always been a contender, whether they're playing in Cameron Indoor or at Maryland. They always contend with Duke somehow, almost regardless of how good their team is. So I think that this game is going to be a toss-up, but due to the home field advantage, I think I give the advantage to Duke in this one.
Well, I tell you what, I like Duke in this one as well, and I'm going to agree with you on this. And we'll get your thoughts here in just a moment, Kenny. But definitely, as always, a must-see game. Mark it up on your calendar every year. Duke, Maryland, the Terrapins, the Blue Devils, public school versus private school. Mr. Kenny Barr, what are your thoughts on this matchup?
Where are they playing?
They're playing in Cameron.
Duke's going to win by 7. So I'll agree with you on these two. Hey, I'll bet you two turkeys, a soda pop, Wisconsin beats Minnesota today.
There's two things that strike me. You say they're going to win by 7, like we're talking college football, and you use the word soda pop. I mean,
well, I could call barley pop or whatever you want to call it there, a Pepsi.
How about a sarsaparilla?
Whatever you want, because you're going to end up buying me whatever I want anyway, because Wisconsin's going to win that ball.
you got it.
Yeah, Duke playing at home, coming off a ugly loss, they're going to be double inspired. It always is a good game, you're right. It's a great game to watch and stuff. I just don't think that Maryland's going to have the firepower to keep up with Duke, because Duke's just going to try and run them out of the gym. And Duke will win that thing. Okay, by 6.5. How's that?
By a field goal.
There you go.
Yeah, we can still use that same terminology at college basketball. Well, you know, I wish we could get to all the games. Obviously, some other great games on the schedule today. Syracuse and Villanova, great, great game. Another good game there. Obviously, Syracuse, the Big Orange, coming in 18-1 and 6-0 in the Big East. Villanova 12-7. I think Syracuse takes that pretty easily handed it. And here's another great matchup. Louisville Cardinals versus the Georgia Bulldogs. Obviously, the Cardinals coming in 16-3 and 4-2 in the Big East, and 13-4 and 3-3 in the Big East, and always another good matchup as well. Well, one other team that I wanted to break down, and guys, some other check your list. You got USC and Arizona, Florida, Mississippi State, and tonight you got the late game San Francisco and Gonzaga. But the last game I want to break down today, Temple and Butler. And I tell you what, Butler Blue, the changing of the guards, Butler Blue Tooth or Blue Two or what have you. The new Bulldog comes out as the mascot today against Temple. Obviously, Temple is 13-5 and 2-2 in the A-10 in the Atlantic Conference, Kenny, if you didn't know what the A stood for. Butler. Butler, 16-3 and 3-1. Great team Butler is this season, and I would not be surprised if we don't see Butler pull some magic out in March again. So Butler Temple game, Kenny, what are your thoughts?
Butler don't need no stinking magic. They're just a good ball club. They're a well coached ball club. They're disciplined, and they know how to win, and they know how to finish. That intangible that some teams never get. I think Butler wins this thing over Temple. I think it's going to be a close ball game, 4 or 5 points maybe. But Butler's just a tough, gritty, know-how-to-get-it-done kind of ball club. Again, well-coached. The guy who coaches on there probably could get a great big contract somewhere else, but he's stayed true to his roots and loyal. We'll see the Bulldogs on this one.
Preston?
Butler will win if and only if they can stop Khalif Wyatt from scoring. He's one of the leading scorers in the nation, and I got to watch him play in Allen Fieldhouse, and that man scores with no shame because there is almost no one else on Temple that can just take the ball and score whenever willing. And, man, Khalif Wyatt is a scorer, so they got to stop him, and I think they'll win easily.
Well, and I wish we had more time to really break it down into that game, but unfortunately, we do not have that luxury anymore. What I want to know is, Preston, have you got your tape together so that you can send us this during today's game? Because we want you to tape it for us during today's game against Oklahoma, because we know every school plays it. Post it up on our website. How's that sound?
That sounds good. I hope they play in the field house.
All right. You tape it with your phone. You send it directly to me. We're going to get it posted up on the website. All right, guys. We got to go. That's going to do it for College Saturday. Right around the corner is some NFL talk. We're going to be talking the Pro Bowl. We're going to be talking about our teaser for next week for the Super Bowl. We got our Super Bowl special coming up on Sunday. And next week we got two shows, one show on Saturday and one show on Sunday. Both of them kick off at 9 a.m. Eastern, and we're going to be talking pretty much Super Bowl all Sunday, obviously, and pretty much Super Bowl all day next week as well. So we got a lot of Super Bowl talk to talk about, but we got to go now, guys. We do have to go. So, Preston, where can people find your work, your masterpieces, and your homework?
Well, you can find my homework on my desk right there. But you can find my work every Saturday here. I'll be up talking to y'all. I don't have a Twitter. Oddly enough, my father has one before me. Is that not crazy?
I don't know. There's something going on there. I really don't know what that is. Kenny, where can people find your work and your masterpieces?
I don't have any masterpieces, and I do as very little work as I possibly can. But I am on Twitter. Kenny Bar 52, the blog at RadioSpeedTalk.com, and all our shows are archived on RadioSpeedTalk.com, so you can hear some really weird, unadulterated opinions anytime you want. Just dig into the archives at the website.
All right, guys, we do have to go. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we're going to get right into the NFL talk. We're going to be talking about some Pro Bowl, and we got Jeff Kurtz standing by with us, as well as Gene Walker, and Jeff's going to be talking with us about his new draft picks coming up for 2013. We're going to be talking about the Pro Bowl and giving you a little bit of a sneak peek of what's going on next week. Yeah, there is a little game. Maybe you've heard of it. Maybe you haven't. It's the Super Bowl. Guys, we'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Open Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. Do you have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Steve Austin, astronaut, a man barely alive. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic man. Steve Austin will be that man. Better than he was.
Here we go.
New 20!
Football. Catch the fever.
The sport of kings.
And now let's talk some football.
From Indiana Talks as well. So without further ado, let's get right to it, my friends. Mr. Jeff Kurtz, are you with us, sir?
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
I am fantastic, never better. Nice and warm in the studios here. It's I wish I was out in Hawaii for the Pro Bowl, but you know they stopped selecting broadcasters. I am not really understanding of that because really we're what makes it happen, and we're what makes them go the Pro Bowl, right? Because everybody listens to what we have to say when they go vote for their fans on the Pro Bowl, and if we don't like them, they ain't go the Pro Bowl. Mr. Gene Walker from Indiana Talks. And knows everything there is to know about sports and a little bit about raspberry jam. How you doing, sir?
Love the raspberry jam. I'm glad you brought that credit into it because I know more about that than I know about football.
Well, I know you're out in Pittsburgh doing some of your other stuff, and we're gonna actually talk about that for just a moment. And I learned something new about you yesterday, and I find it kind of exciting, so somewhat intriguing. At least you never have a problem finding a bodyguard if you need one. I guess you manage some mixed martial arts teams.
I've been managing pro fighters here for a couple of years. I started a company a little while back, and I saw the rise of MMA in the sports field probably, I saw it coming 10 years ago, 12 years ago, and it was kind of shunned by it. You know, people thought that the sport wasn't going to take off like it did. And I put my eggs in a basket and was actually fortunate enough to see it come true. And now, as you know, MMA is a top 10 sport in the world. It came from basically a basement, literally. So the rise of it's been tremendous. It's past boxing as the fight sports were a choice, at least in the United States, and that's growing to other countries. And we're in Pittsburgh tonight for a fight over here, Gladiator Challenge, a good show. I have a 145-pounder named Dante Adams that will be fighting tonight, and it's been very cool. And it's also been nice, a nice training vehicle for a lot of football players in the off season to train mixed martial arts as well. So in general, if nothing else, from a sparring aspect.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to watch from a distance. I am not going to be that brave announcer who says, hey, I'll get in the cage. You know what? I don't want to get in the cage, but I tell you what, I think it's evolved a lot over the last, especially over the last few years, and you know, it's evolved from, you know, what you think a fight club, I mean, really, that's kind of what the movie was based on in a lot of different avenues early on, obviously an illegal type of setup at that point. But the whole cage fighting and mixed martial arts obviously has picked up some legs of its own. I personally will not get in the ring, but we'll run a contest. And Jeff, how about you? Are you ready to jump in the cage there, buddy?
I think that's a little bit too much for me. I'll stick to the stick and ball sports.
Well, you know, our producer, Michelle Jones, is actually one belt away from a black belt in Taekwondo. And her brother, Brad, is a second-degree black belt. I just own a black belt.
Yeah, me too.
I have one of those as well. So, yeah, I think we're all in good company on that.
All right, guys. Well, let's get on into the talk, and we're going to get into the slam, the NFL draft guide. We are going to get to that here in just a moment, but I want to get to the Pro Bowl. And for those of you that don't know, we're going to give Jeff the opportunity to really break down his online magazine. You can get it. I bought my issue today. I didn't even get a free issue. I bought my issue today. We'll get into all of that, and I really want to talk about the slant, the 2013 NFL draft guide. Obviously, a very, very important part, especially for us fantasy football gurus. And a lot of we can look at the draft, and we can look at how people's position in the draft, and especially when you look at what happens after the combine. Well, let's look at the Pro Bowl. Could it be the last Pro Bowl that we see? A lot of people are saying, and maybe I'm on that bandwagon too, to some degree. I love to watch that Pro Bowl in Hawaii, but I think it's ran its time. And I think now when you look at the scenario with concussions and you look at all the different things with money and there's a lot of money out there at stake for these athletes. I say let's just name an all-pro team and send them to Hawaii. You guys did a great job. You know, because unlike baseball, you got the All-Stars, NBA, you got the All-Stars. I think it's a lot different with the Pro Bowl when it, you know, and they even have rules on how much they can connect with each other. So we'll start with you, Gene. What are your thoughts on the Pro Bowl? Should it stay? Should it go? And if it stays, should they make it more like flag football? If they adjust the rules anymore, it very well might be.
It's a hard call because I always thought that it was a nice thing for the fans to be able to go out to Hawaii if they could make it out there, or it moved and then came mainland. And to be able to see that many stars in one spot, if you're really into a sport, it's always a good thing, on the level. The thing about the problem that football has, and I think you just kind of mentioned it there, is that it would be sort of like having, I mean, what would a Pro Bowl look like for MMA, as an example? These are very physical sports. I mean, football is an incredibly, incredibly violent sport. I played it for 16 years, why I named my company Fourth Down. I love football, love it with a passion. Extremely violent. There was a guy this year in college that had to have a tracheotomy on the field just to get to an emergency surgery to save his life, just to get to another emergency surgery to make sure he could move again, which I don't know if he can. Followed by a guy that was paralyzed. That was just in college football. This guy's walking off broken legs, cracked ribs, punctured lungs. I suffered a shoulder concussion injury when I played. I didn't even make the pros. I wasn't even in the NFL. And so when you look at the reason that people are looking at this game, because it's violent, fast, it's team oriented, it's all those things. And when you put that into the structure of a scrimmage, basically, which is what this is, and a bunch of guys that definitely do not want to get hurt playing this scrimmage, you've almost taken the element and their basic instinct to swing on somebody or to hit somebody out of it. And therefore, what you've done is made only one winner. I don't know how our other panelists feel, but the only winner ever in a Pro Bowl game is the guy that goes to Vegas and bets the over. Because at the end of the day, they're not going to do what they have to do to make this a legitimate football game. And why would they? And so they're basically running around at half speed. And then occasionally, like the late Sean Taylor did from my skinnies a few years ago, forgets that and lights somebody up, and it happens. But right now I just think that it would almost be better to end the thing altogether because you're basically putting out a product for a day that just doesn't compete. It doesn't do them any justice either. I would almost rather just they have a fan forum or something somewhere and move it around to different cities where the people that are elected to come there Maybe they sign autographs, take pictures, and it's just based for the fans completely. I know there's some people who won't like that idea, but the game itself is a joke. Let's call it what it is. And the players, once they're done with it, would have been better off wearing flags because they're not going to do the same thing in that game they would have in a regular game, and they risk injury by going half speed and maybe somebody decides to crank it up a little bit. I liked it when I was a kid. I don't like it now.
Right. And, you know, here's the thing. I can see both sides of it. As a fan, I love to see my favorite players out there throughout the year get out there. But also as a fan, I want them to come back and put on my team uniform. Jeff, what are your thoughts? I know that this has kind of been one of those things, especially bloggers like to write about and talk about and say maybe we have it, maybe we don't have it. But is this something that's necessary for the NFL, and is it more important for the fan, or is it more important for NFL, or is this just something that just is irrelevant anymore?
Well, I just want to piggyback on both of your thoughts. I don't know if this will be the last Pro Bowl, but I think it should be. I'm in agreement. It's really anticlimactic. The players don't want to get hurt. It's not a competitive game. Last year it was a farce. The lackadaisical efforts and really going through the motion. Nobody wants to see guys on their favorite team get hurt and miss part of the season or the entire next season. So there's really no benefit other than a free trip to Hawaii. I'm in agreement. I'd love to see a team named. I think the honor in being selected is really where it's at, the value. If they want to have it in Hawaii and give the players a trip over there, have a banquet, or if they want to move it around, as your other guest suggested, and have kind of a fan festival autograph appearance, I think that's great as well. But the ironic thing, of all the four major sports, the Pro Bowl really lends itself the least to having an all-star game because the very nature of the game, that is a physical sport. You have to play with a lot of intensity. When you don't, that's where guys get hurt. But on the opposite end, the game will be watched and has the highest rating value of all the All-Star games. So as much as people talk about it and really diss the Pro Bowl, it will be heavily watched. It's in prime time tomorrow. So I don't know if this will be the last one. I think we're trending towards the lifespan of the game being very short, whether it's in fact this year or next year or the year after. I just don't see really the upside of continuing it and would agree that we can just name a team, honor guys that way, and really be finished with the aspect of a meaningless exhibition.
Well, absolutely. You know, here's the thing. It's NFL. You attach the name NFL, people are going to watch it, read it, buy it, whatever. And it's just the way fans are. We're wired that way. We think if NFL is attached to it, if it's NFL endorsed, then we got to watch it. It's going to be very highly rated. You know, I think it's a little bit different. You look at, so we talked about some of the other, the NBA's All-Star game turns into, you know, they got the dunk contest, and then you got Major League Baseball that's got the home run derby. Those aspects are really more watched than the actual All-Star game itself in a lot of ways. And, you know, Major League All-Star is not without its faults. I'm a firm believer. I don't understand why whoever wins that game gets a home field advantage in the World Series. Shouldn't it come down to who has the better record? Because you could get in the World Series without having a very good record, quite frankly, in a lot of ways, in a lot of aspects. But, you know, I don't think the Pro Bowl is any of those things. It's fun to watch our favorite players get out there and, you know, have fun in Hawaii. But let's face it, it's a big party out in Hawaii. That's really all it is. And like I said, if you slap NFL on it, people will watch it, read it, or what have you. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe we look at some of the things that could take place. Maybe you could do a quarterback challenge, and you know, you've got the Nike's fastest 40-man yard dash already. You got State Farm double check quarterback challenge, the Muscle Milk strongest man bench. You know, there's just a lot of different things that they could go with. And still have fun with it. So, you know, maybe we've seen the end of the Pro Bowl, but maybe we haven't. But you know, really, let's face it. When I get tweets and things from local media, and they're taking a picture of Peyton Manning in his monkey swimming trunks. with a beer talking to Jeff Saturday, it tells me that they really aren't caring much about a football game. You know, that's fine. They've earned the right to be out in Hawaii and drink beer. And, you know, let's talk about something else, though, that came to light here locally with the Indianapolis Colts. Obviously, Jeff Saturday is going to announce his retirement after the Pro Bowl. When we look at how we follow Jeff Saturday's career, obviously a lot of people speculate that, one, he's going to retire as a Colt, and two, he's going to come back with the Colts organization in some sort of an offensive line coach type situation or a front office type job. I've also heard the rumor that he could be head of scouts. He could be one of the vice presidents of football operations. But bottom line is, I think that his involvement in football isn't over. He's just kind of switching roles, and I think a lot of people believe that role will be with the Indianapolis Colts. Gene?
Well, I don't know who else it would be with if it's going to be in the NFL. It's because of one season gone. And you didn't really see the dynamic between a quarterback and a center was really really exposed in the first couple.
Here we go. New 20.
Sorry about that, Gene. That was a total. But I'm not allowed to touch buttons around here. My fault.
Yeah, that's okay. I experienced that on my own show a couple times.
Go ahead.
You know, but I think that the dynamic between the center and the quarterback is vastly underrated and under-narrative in the sense that the quarterback doesn't feel comfortable with the center or isn't used to him. That affects how they play. People say, well, how could that be? Oh, it believe me, as many years as Manning and Saturday played together, you could see a difference when he went to Denver for the first few games that Peyton was struggling this year. And part of that is just because of that dynamic. I promise you it is. And we want to just – it's the thing about it is, Saturday is exactly the center you want to have. If you're a quarterback, you want to have a guy like that with you the entire time. It's not that he just gets up there and snaps the ball. An understanding of shifting coverages, which way the line is going to go, left to right, identifying who they believe the mic backer is, all those kind of things. The center calls so much out the line of scrimmage, it's ridiculous. Peyton's not the only guy calling something out. He's just the only one the fans are looking at. And it's just like the middle linebacker, the mic backer, is the quarterback of the defense in most scenarios. The center is to a great deal for that offensive line. And as you guys probably have seen over the years, I'm sure, unfortunately, the Bear fans have seen recently, when the offensive line isn't working, you can still be good, but it's hard to get the job done. In fact, it's amazing, on to that point, not taking a shot at the Bears, but how good they were this year with very inconsistent line play. And it's amazing they had 10 wins. So he was the anchor of that, and he's just the quintessential center that you would want the Skins back in the day. He reminds me of a Hog, actually. You know, he reminds me of that guy that came every day and did his job every day. And the only time you heard about him is if you put a mic in front of his face and then made him talk. So without those guys, this whole train doesn't run. He was tremendous.
Well, one thing is for sure, it's really just the cousin to the Super Bowl. It just gives us something to do on the off week. Because in 8 days, 8 hours, and 7 minutes, I think we're going to see a Super Bowl come together, and it's the Harbaugh Bowl. So let me ask you this, Jeff, and before we get on into some more conversations, is there anything else you want to add to this week's Pro Bowl? Any thoughts that you want to have? And let's go ahead and get our picks out there, guys. My pick, AFC wins it. Jeff, what are your thoughts? I got a feeling you're going to pick the NFC, but go ahead.
Yeah, I will take the NFC. How'd you guess, Tom? I just think the interesting thing is that a lot of the guys who are on non-playoff teams haven't played for about a month now. And if you have looked at what we term as practices for the Pro Bowl, you were discussing about Peyton Manning and Jeff Saturday having a beer. The practices haven't been real rigorous either for either of these squads. And I just think that, you know, you're going to see probably a very high-scoring game. And I'm not sure there's any rhyme or reason to who might have an advantage. The AFC had a long winning streak, and then the NFC has won the last couple. I'll take the NFC again. in a field goal game in a high scoring wide open affair.
Gene, who do you pick, the NFC or the AFC?
I'm tossing my coin right now. Hold on. it just landed straight up. It's a gravity pull here in Pittsburgh. I'm picking the over. I think both teams lose in this one. I don't think there's a winner in this game. But if you happen to be in the desert, put it out there on a bunch of points. Obviously I'm going to root for the NFC. There's no reason not to as a Skins fan. By the way, Trent Williams, who was one of the few Redskins that made it, gets into a fight. Now he's not even going to be in the game. So he does all his activity outside of the flag football game they're going to be playing, and now he doesn't even get to play. So needless to say, sorry, Tom, I'm not watching this one. I'm going to go ahead and try to save some starving kids or something worthwhile during those 3 hours.
Hey, I totally understand. I'm with you. All right, guys. Well, we got the Hardball Bowl. We're going to talk about that for about 5 minutes because next week, guys, and I hope you guys can join us for the Super Bowl show as well. We got two shows next week, a regular balance every Saturday. And then next Sunday, Super Bowl special. We do that every year, and it's 2 hours of nothing but Super Bowl talk. And we get you ready to get ready to get ready to get ready to get ready for the Super Bowl. It amazes me. There's so many pregame shows that begin somewhere around 11 a.m. So you start with the balance from 9 to 11. You move over to the NFL Network, and then you move over to ESPN. You've got pregame activities all day long. So you got to start here at the balance. So the Hardball Bowl, it's going to be a great game. One of the Hardballs is going to get a Super Bowl ring. One of them has to do the dishes on Thanksgiving. So we'll start with you, Jeff. Real quickly, and we'll get into a lot of that conversation next week, but Hardball Bowl, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think I was on your show a couple weeks ago, and I mentioned that at the start of the divisional playoff, I thought San Francisco was the most well-balanced team of any of the clubs in the playoffs, and I'll stick to that. Offensively and defensively, nice mix. Obviously, Colin Kaepernick has really been the ingredient to kickstart that offense. He's a dual threat. They've got a strong running game with Frank Gore. Vernon Davis has really come into his own at the tight end position. They do have a couple of receiving threats as well, but I like their defense, and I think they're going to control Baltimore's running game. I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of points on the board. Baltimore has been kind of freewheeling here, and they're living out a dream a little bit in the playoffs with their victories over Denver and New England. So I wouldn't be surprised to see it be a relatively high-scoring game in the 20s again. But I think that the Ravens' success will have to be through the air with Joe Flacco having another strong effort. Give the advantage, though, San Francisco, just more well-balanced on both sides of the ball at this point.
All right, Gene, real quickly, what are your thoughts on the Hardball Bowl?
Well, and it goes back again to the 2 weeks ago when our other guest was on the show. You know, the one team that I thought might have a chance against the Ravens after I picked them to win the Super Bowl from week one was Denver because of their defense. I thought that that would be what might be able to trip them up. And as you can see, that didn't trip them up. The Baltimore Ravens have got all four tires on the road. They got the gears going, and the thing about it is that it's just coming to light. Joe Flacco is just an extremely underrated individual when it comes to playing football games. The thing, if you look over the last 10 years or 15 years, a good majority of the teams that you've watched, with I'd say Aaron Rodgers and Kurt Warner being exceptions to that rule, is that a lot of the teams that win Super Bowls are the old-fashioned pancake butter and syrup teams. Run the ball, time of possession, defense, and a quarterback that doesn't mess you up. And if you look at a lot of your teams throughout the last 20 years, a lot of them fit that mode in some fashion or another. Baltimore fits it with more muscle now, though. You go back about 3 years ago, when Flacco was in the middle of going to a playoff every year he's played, winning at least a game, and yet not having the receivers to really stretch out the field, they're very one-dimensional. They have that now. And so I think right now I agree the potential for a lot of points, I think is pretty good. I think that the potential for a lot of points is, at least for a Super Bowl, is pretty good. But to me, that would mean, you know, like Super Bowl 13, the points are in the 30 for both teams, or the upper 20s. I think that's a very, very good assessment of that, and I agree with that.
Well, we're going to take a break real quick, guys, and when we get back, we're going to jump into some of the things that I know that Jeff's been working on. We're going to be talking about the slant, the 2013 NFL draft. I got my copy right here and ready to go. We're also going to be talking about the Senior Bowl. Guys, if you want to jump in the conversation, 917-889-8516. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports. Bart, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
All right, welcome back to the Balance. The last half hour of today's show. My name's Tom Mark Wazell, Presidente. We got our panel of experts with us. We got Mr. Jeff Kurtz of Bear Claws, Mr. Gene Walker of Indiana Talks, and also joining us now, and will be joining us as our co-host with the Super Bowl special next Sunday, Mr. $2 Bill Josh. Are you with us, sir?
I'm here, Tom. How are you?
Ready to rock and roll. Ready, rock and roll. Well, we're going to kind of talk about something that Jeff has put together, and I got my issue right here, and I've been kind of going through it here a little bit about the NFL draft guide. And I love the NFL draft. I'm a big fantasy football guy. I know a lot of people's like, well, you can't count on your rookies. Well, sometimes you can't, sometimes you can, but I love draft day. I guess you just kind of like, give me some more football. I need a fix. I need a fix. So the draft day is that. So we'll talk about that. But also, Jeff, I know you've been working on something that a lot of people really don't pay a lot of attention to. Isn't getting a lot of publicity, maybe like it should anyway, and that's the 2013 Senior Bowl. And I know you're covering that in quite detail as well. So, Jeff, talk with us about this year's Senior Bowl.
Sure. Well, I'm sitting in beautiful Mobile, Alabama, with all due respect to the folks back home. It's been a beautiful week of weather, sunny skies, about 65, 70 degrees for kickoff for the game later today at Ladd People Stadium, the 64th Senior Bowl. Forecast is for partly cloudy skies, high near 74. So it's been a great week. It's really a who's who in the NFL down here. And just to give you kind of a brief glimpse behind the curtain, if you will, so I get here on Monday for the weigh-in, where all the players are stripped down to basically their underwear, and they go through a height, weight measurement, also their arm length and wingspan. And as I walk into the convention center where this is held, I see new Chicago Bears coach Mark Trestman, general manager Phil Emery, and the Bears scouting staff. To the left of me, Mean Joe Green, the former Pittsburgh Steeler great, Hall of Famer, who is an assistant coach and also does some scouting with the organization in the city. On my right-hand side is new Kansas City head coach Andy Reid. As I walk down the escalator, I see former Denver Broncos Hall of Fame quarterback John Elway, now an executive with that team. And it's really a chance to meet, mingle, network with all the NFL personnel, the scouts, general managers, coaching staffs, Mike McCoy, the new San Diego Chargers head coach, sitting in the row below me taking in notes and watching practice. Tuesday and Wednesday were full padded practices. We have over 100 of the top senior prospects in the nation. Now, there are a couple guys due to injuries or other reasons who declined the invitation. And the two that come to mind who probably should have been here to help their draft stock but weren't were Wisconsin running back Monte Ball and West Virginia quarterback Geno Smith. I think they did themselves a disservice. The scouts and the evaluators are really watching closely on Tuesday and Wednesday, those full padded practice days. And then it kind of ramps down a little bit. Thursday was a shells, non-contact drill. And then Friday, a lot of community service, fan festival, stuff like that, and then the games today. So most of the evaluators left after Thursday morning. There are a handful of scouts still around to watch the game. Most of them will either watch it at home or get the tape of this. And if you think about it, it's really the middle stage of the evaluation process. So we had the college career, the college football season that ended with the bowl game. Now this is kind of the second stage. But in my mind, this is really the last time that you get to see and evaluate guys playing the actual sport in game situations. After this week, they'll go back to their various training facilities around the country in Florida, Arizona, Texas, sometimes back home at their college campus, and work out and really try to improve their 40-yard dash time and some other athletic types of situations and drills that they'll be asked to perform at the combine. But it's really not football anymore after this point. So that's the beauty of the Senior Bowl. The other part of it is that the teams really get a chance to sit down and get to know these players. And they ask them everything. They want to know their family. They want to know their high school background. They want to know who they hang out with. They want to know if they were suspended or injured. And if they were, where were they hurt at? What were they suspended for? All the kinds of information, because a lot of money and investment obviously goes into these players. And just to give you a kind of an example, Alfred Morris, the Washington Redskins running back, who is a prime candidate for Rookie of the Year, had over 1,000 yards, really helped the Skins blossom and become a playoff team, along with RG3, of course. He was a late add to this game last year, little-known running back from Florida International. Came in Thursday, Friday of the week, made a strong impression. He wasn't a high draft choice. I believe he got picked in the sixth round, but look at the impact he's made. And really the offensive line play has stood out in particular this week. There's also been a strong core of wide receivers, kind of unheralded guys who had something to prove and have had a good week. And then the defensive back play is the other unit that really stood out to me during the week of practice. So that's kind of a long answer, but it's a fascinating experience. I think for any football fan, it's a thing on the bucket list that you should have to visit just to be a part of that, especially those Tuesday and Wednesday full padded practices, just to be in the atmosphere. There's a real energy level in the stadium, and the intensity is ratcheted up during those two padded practices.
Well, and I love that you're covering that for your own stuff and share some information with us, because in just a moment here, we're going to go through some of my top round draft picks, and I love the draft. It's one of my favorite things to talk about. And so we're going to go ahead and go to you, Gene, but if we mention a player or something that maybe you've seen, they're going to kind of talk about their performance, Jeff, as well. And I guess what we could compare it to would be kind of like the combine, sort of, on a different level to get players ready for the draft. Do I understand that correctly, Jeff?
Sure, but you're seeing them play the sport where the combine, it's kind of a underwater or underwear Olympics where they're just going through various drills. So I think that for team players in game situations, that's what you can evaluate down here at the Senior Bowl.
Well, let's just kind of go through a mock draft here. We'll do our balanced official mock draft. And, again, that's all it is, and maybe we'll change it as we go along. We're going to start with you, $2 bill, Josh. Basically, we're going to go with the first round draft. Obviously, I think we would probably go with the Kansas City Chiefs. So who does Kansas City pick in the first round, Josh?
I'm going to go, and a lot of people aren't going to agree with this pick. I'm going to say the Kansas City Chiefs draft Manti Te'o, linebacker out of Notre Dame.
Whoa! No! No! Not on the first round. Let's not get on the J.O. Thing. Wait, it might be imaginary. It may happen in his mind. I'm just
kidding.
But
there's a reason I say that, Tom.
What? What's the reason?
Kansas City has a new defensive coordinator, a new head coach. They're looking for a new outstanding playmaking linebacker after the death of Javon Belcher. And Te'o, even if he is a liar, is the best playmaking linebacker available in this year's draft.
All right. There you go. So we got Josh's pick to Kansas City would be Te'o. I can't see him being the first-round pick. Certainly, I think he's obviously going to get drafted, but I can't see him being a first-round pick. So, Mr. Gene Walker, what are your thoughts? Kansas City Chiefs, first round, who do they go with?
And quickly, in defense of the first pick by our other guests there, just remember this, Tom. The NFL is not going to look at somebody lying is all that big of an egregious offense that they're going to let Ben Roethlisberger and Ray Lewis continue to play in that league. As far as your first-round draft pick goes, I think that they should look at a guy like Bjorn Warner out of Florida State as a defensive end. I have not been big on this whole trend to always just take defensive ends as the cure-all for your team. Their offensive line needs work. They need to substantiate an offense, no matter who their quarterback is. But Kansas City is one of those teams that's in that situation where they need somebody to put heat on somebody immediately. They need field position, and I think he's the guy they should look at.
All right, Jeff, now you've been out there at the Senior Bowl. You've been seeing these guys come together getting ready for draft. You probably have a better pick and a better idea who the Kansas City Chiefs are going to pick in the first round. So who does Kansas City Chiefs pick in the first round?
Let me preface my comments with saying two things. Juniors are going to dominate this draft, as they have for each of the last couple of years. There were 73 underclassmen who declared for the NFL draft early, and the focus of the first round is going to be on those players. Secondly, it is very early in the evaluation process. A lot of things could change between now and April, but if you were to ask me on January 26th or 27th, who the first pick was, I think Kansas City is looking to line play, especially the offensive line, and I think that a guy that will give then instant protection up front and a guy who will be well worth that choice would be offensive tackle Luke Jokel from Texas A&M. He's a junior. Scouts are real high on him. Pleased to see him come out. And I think that that's the direction that they'll go with that first pick.
And also, I want to give a plug to Jeff's magazine. I have ordered it now, and I the way I understand it, and I haven't got into all of it yet. There's a PDF version and a hard copy version. It's called The Slant. It's your magazine, or it's your draft guide for 2013. Our listeners can order it. How does that happen?
Yes, they can go online. I appreciate you mentioning that, Tom, at theslantdraftguide.com. That's all one word. You can
see my work and see some examples. It is a hard copy book that will be published in late March. So if you pre-order now, you can take advantage of a special early bird offer, $16.95 for both the book and a companion PDF that you'll get at the same time. So whether you like something in your hand, old-fashioned, to read and take with you, or if you like to view your information online, you can do it both ways, $16.95 for both the book and the PDF. That's good through the end of the month, January 31st. I'm updating as well things around the draft, Senior Bowl, Combine, Pro Day workouts, any other scuttlebutt on Facebook at the Slant Draft Guide. So a couple different ways, slantdraftguide.com or on Facebook, look up the Slant Draft Guide, and you'll see my updates. Been posting a lot of things down here at Senior Bowl, obviously, because this is where the heart of the action is, at least at this time, NFL Draft West speak.
Well, there you go, and I know we've got it up on our social media, guys, so if you missed that, it's all up on our Twitter and Facebook accounts as well. Now, I agree with you on that, Jeff. I like Luke Joka with Texas A&M. I mean, obviously, you look at any of the guys from Texas A&M to do well on from the offensive line with the season that they had with Johnny quarterback there at the helm. You just got to look at that situation. Now, who I think that would be a good pick. You know, I didn't think about an offensive tackle. I'm always the kind of guy that sometimes you think that the first-round draft pick goes to the quarterback. That's why I like Geno Smith over from West Virginia to go in a first-line draft pick. But you look at they got Andy Reid. So, you know, the whole scheme of their draft thing has obviously been shifted and changed around, and Andy Reid has a different style of drafting, as he's proven with the Eagles. So, you know, I could be totally wrong on this, but I'm going to say Geno Smith, quarterback from West Virginia, is my first round pick as well. Well, let's look at another scenario here. Let's look at the Jacksonville Jaguars, Josh. Jacksonville Jaguars, who do they draft here in round number 2, and we'll just try to get through as many rounds as we can in the next 15 minutes. Obviously, we can't get through all of it, but I just kind of want to touch on the highlights, and I know Jeff is at the Senior Bowl and has a lot. Again, the Slant, the 2013 draft guide, is a great tool to understand who these teams are going to draft and when you put together your draft board. So, Josh, Jacksonville Jaguars, a team that's really struggling, and if you say Tim Tebow, oh, wait, he won't be drafted. I'm just kidding with you. Go ahead, Josh.
With the second pick in the 2013 NFL draft, the San Francisco 49ers, via trade, whereas they have traded Alex Smith to the Jacksonville Jaguars, the San Francisco 49ers will draft defensive end Warren out of Florida State.
All right, Gene, who does Jacksonville Jaguars pick?
I think that they're going to go with an end as well. I think DeMonte Moore out of A&M is going to be the guy they're looking at.
All right, Jeff.
I like the defensive line, but I like senior star Lotolule from defensive tackle from Utah. He's a guy that should have been down here today at the Senior Bowl. He's by I think that he would be a good pick for Jacksonville to bulk up that interior.
Sorry, Jeff, I did it to you and Gene. So, I am just going to back away. Don't touch the board. Don't touch buttons. I don't mean to do that. I don't know how that happens. It's like it just grabs me. So I do apologize about that. You know, and I agree with you. I think Warner from Florida, the defensive end of Florida State, is a great, great pick for Jacksonville Jaguars. They've got to do something on that defensive end. So you got to look at whether they draft that defensive tackle from Texas A&M or they go with let's call him Star from Utah. But, you know, I think I'm just going to join the panel on this and jump on the bandwagon as well. I like Warner, a defensive end from Florida State, to go to the Jacksonville Jaguars. All right, round number 3, Joshua, Oakland Raiders. Who do they go? Josh, are you with me? Okay, we'll go to
yes,
Gene. Josh, are you there?
Yes, I'm not sure who the Raiders are going to pick, but I think they need to pick a wide receiver.
Okay, Gene.
I think that Luke Jokel, rather, of A&M, which was picked earlier, I think that's the guy that the Raiders should be looking at for sure. And I do agree they need a receiver, but they should probably look for him in free agency.
All right, Jeff.
Defensive end, Barkevious Mingo from LSU. He's an underclassman who declared early, nice mix of size, speed, athletic ability. They need some help defensively.
Well, and I absolutely agree. No matter who the Raiders pick, they have to pick somebody that's really going to make a difference on their team and can come in out of the gate. And I think the guy really to do that, and if you think about it, once I tell you who this is, I think the choice is fairly obvious, and that's Dee Milliner, cornerback with Alabama. I think he would be the ideal pick for number three with the Oakland Raiders. All right, Josh, the Philadelphia Eagles. They need something out there, and they need it bad. So, who does the Philadelphia Eagles pick in the number four?
I believe the Philadelphia Eagles won't pick anybody at number four, as I believe they're going to trade for either Alex Smith or Mark Sanchez. So, either the Niners or the Jets will be making this pick, and whoever it is will be picking a running back.
All right, Gene.
I'm actually down the lines of that a little bit in that now that you have a system that a college coach is going to require way too much speed for that even the Eagles don't seem to possess, they're going to have to definitely move outside the box and maybe get a couple draft picks for a player here and there. And I guess maybe Geno Smith is the kind of guy that Chip Kelly would start looking at right away. And on to why he didn't go to the Senior Bowl, I think it's because of the way that his season ended. I think his handlers were probably thinking, if you go out there again in basically another extended scrimmage like some of these bowls end up being with the time off, you might hurt your draft status, just like Tebow did by going there and not doing well. So I think Geno Smith might be somebody that Chip Kelly's looking at.
All right, we're doing the Balanced 2013 Mock Draft. And I will try to have all of that up on all of our picks up later on today on the balanceonline.com so that you guys can reflect back to that and we can go to the I told you so's. So, Jeff.
I'll agree with Gene. I think this is a perfect spot for Geno Smith. Chip Kelly also down here. It's very interesting. Just a quick side note. Chip Kelly was down here talking with Nick Saban, who arrived as a rock star watching the South practice on Monday. As you can expect, all the fans in Alabama very crazy about the Crimson Tide. So when Nick Saban showed up, he was greeted as part Elvis, part rock star, part president. And that was one of the fascinating parts of the week. But I think Geno Smith would be a tailor-made fit for what Chip Kelly's trying to do in Philadelphia.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, obviously, if you look at one coach that has the ability to really look into the draft room and has some distinct advantages to a lot of coaches this year as far as tape and a lot of other things, I would say that Kelly has that advantage. So, obviously, I would think logically he's going to have to trade around because, honestly, I still think Geno Smith's going to go in the number one round. He's going to have to do some wheeling and dealing to get Geno Smith. So, I think it would be a good fit for him. But you look at that. If the Philadelphia Eagles will bring Geno Smith to run Chip Kelly's system, going in this direction, I don't know what this would mean with the new coaching staff. I don't think that has high hopes for Nick Foles, and you know that'd be something that he doesn't have the speed. You got to look. Something's got to break there in Philadelphia, and with Chip Kelly, I think that's going to be one of the most interesting picks of the draft, who the Philadelphia Eagles put together. But I still think Geno Smith will be a great pick there, but there's a lot of options, and they're in a good position to do some trading around to get those options. So, Josh, we'll go to the Detroit Lions and the number five pick. Who do they go with? Okay, Josh? All right, Gene?
I'm having a bit of technical difficulty today. I think the Lions are going to pick Dee Milliner out of Alabama. But speaking of something breaking with the Eagles, the bank has to Chip Kelly's ridiculous contract.
All right, well, that's another topic for a different show, that's for sure. All right, Gene.
I actually agree. I think Dean Miller is a good spot for Detroit right now to shore up some corner work. I would go with him out of Alabama as well.
All right, Jeff.
I think they'll go for help on the defensive line. I'm looking at defensive end DeMontre Moore, underclassman, Texas A&M, good size, speed, first step quickness off the edge. They really lagged in terms of their pass rush, and I think that's where the lines will try to improve with that first selection.
Well, I can tell you this is where things start getting interesting as well. You know, obviously the Detroit Lions need to do something in the pass rusher type situation, and I think they have a real need for a cornerback situation. There again, we have to look at what I picked earlier. So dealing and trading, this is where you start seeing that at Milliner with Alabama. Again, cornerback, any team that needs a cornerback is going to try to get him. And obviously the Detroit Lions need a quarterback. All right, Josh, we'll try to get the rest of some of these others in. The Cleveland Browns in the mock draft here. Who does the Cleveland Browns pick in round number 6? All right, Gene.
I'm definitely, if I'm looking at the Browns right now, they need receivers. They need somebody to help out. I'd like to see a Patterson out of Tennessee go to the Browns and help win there.
Okay. I'm sorry, Gene. I thought you were adding something to that. Jeff?
Yeah, I think the new coaching staff, they tag team Joe Hayden. They've got him on one side at cornerback. I think they pick E. Milliner from Alabama here, another underclassman. That would give them a nice pair of corners on both sides.
Well, one thing about it, with the Cleveland Browns hiring Ray Horton to be their new defensive coordinator, obviously you're going to look at probably they're going to switch around to the 3-4 type principle. So who do they draft in that type of situation? I like the guard from Alabama, Chance Warmack. I think he's a good fit for the Cleveland Browns. That's my pick there. So we go over to the Cardinals, Arizona Cardinals. Let's talk about them. This is going to be an interesting pick for them. Obviously, nobody will argue that the Cardinals need an upgrade at the quarterback position. So who do they get? We'll start with you. Josh, are you with us?
Yes, I think with this pick, the Arizona Cardinals are going to draft Matt Barkley, who would have been first over Andrew Luck had he came out last year.
Very good point. I will agree with you on that, sir. Gene?
Yeah, they are in a really, really bad spot. And Barkley just was awful at the end of the year. I'm not going to count the injury against him. He just sort of faded away. But then again, so did Geno Smith. We're talking about him going so high, but you know how fading away, and that offense did as well. I would think Barkley is probably the way they would go if they're drafting. But I would also think that they're going to be looking at a guy like Foles. Wouldn't it be amazing if they actually went after another Eagle quarterback? But Foles doesn't fit in Philadelphia. You had a point there. And he's actually a guy that could probably work in that system just fine. So I look for Arizona to actually make maybe a move toward Barkley. But if they don't do that, definitely make a trade to get somebody in there. But they're going to have to address the quarterback position, all else be you know what, until they get that six.
All right, Jeff, who does the Arizona Cardinals get?
Well, I guess I'll make it a consensus here. I think this is a good spot for Matt Barkley. I actually like Barkley over Geno Smith. I think you have to go back and watch his junior tape. I liked him better than Andrew Luck last year. And this season he decided to come back. It didn't work out for him. Injury prone, was a little inconsistent, didn't show as good as decision-making skills as he did in 2011. But I think Barkley has all the intangibles. I think he has a better-than-average arm. I think, in general, he makes good decisions. And when teams talk with him, the intangibles are just going to drive him up the draft chart. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Barkley be the Cardinals' selection at number 7.
All right, guys, I wish that we had – Matt Barkley is obviously my pick. I wish we had time to get to the Bills, the Jets, and the Titans, but we do not because it is time to jump into the jungle, guys. Well, everybody gets 30 seconds. We're going to start with Eugene in the jungle. Rant about anything you want.
Yeah. Hey, man, you know what? NFL, go ahead and give your Wonderlic test all you want. Grill Man Pie Tail all you want. Put on a show all you want.
you know darn well you're going to take him. You know you're going to take him because he's only a liar. He's not a two-time raper. He's not a date raper like Janikowski, and he's not a murderer like Ray Lewis. So lying is all you have to deal with. Your lawyers can figure that out. No, by the way, the $1,000 Harbaugh bowl thing you stole from Zach Galifianakis, his long-lost brother, horrific.
All right. Mr. Jeff Kurtz, jump into the jungle real quickly.
Well, my world all week has been the Senior Bowl, so that's my two cents. Put it on your bucket list. It's a great way to network, be around NFL scouts, coaches, evaluators. Like I mentioned, on one side of me is Sean Payton doing a press conference talking about his reinstatement. On the other side, Marcus Lattimore, the injured South Carolina running back, and Tyrone Mathieu, the Honey Badger, trying to make a case for why he should be selected in the NFL draft. It's just a terrific football experience for a week and a chance to see a lot of the up-and-coming prospects up close and personal.
All right, Josh, real quickly.
Whether it's Lance Armstrong, Manti Te'o, Danica, and Ricky Stenhouse, come on, people. I want to tune in and watch sports. I don't want to watch the stuff my girlfriend watches, TMZ. Come on, let's get back to covering sports. And next Sunday's our Super Bowl preview. Don't forget to tune into that before you watch the big game.
That's right, guys. Well, that's going to do it for us. My rant is this, guys. Let's get back to sports. Let's get back to what we're about here. Let's get back and start talking about, I agree, I'm going to piggyback on Josh here. Let's talk about the things that really matter. And guys, I really don't care about the Pro Bowl. I don't care if we have another Pro Bowl. If we do have another Pro Bowl, let's just talk some football. Let's get ready for the Super Bowl. Next week, the Super Bowl special right here on the Balance Radio Network. Two shows, Saturday and Sunday, guys. Don't drink and drive. It isn't cool. That's it. We're out of here. We'll see you next week. Right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.